Welcome to the Bible Expositors Podcast with Stephen Baker, taking you verse by verse through the Word of God from the pulpit of Harmony Baptist Church in Dalton, Georgia.
Tonight about the important things, and this morning we talked about Romans 14 verses 1 through 12. That message is already up online. If you visit our website, HarmonyBCOnline.com, you can find that message under the preaching section. And then tonight we are going to do the second part of that chapter. And we'll begin in verse 13 where the Bible says, "Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way." So we're talking tonight about the important things. What is really important? What's really important in the church and in our Christian lives? And we're going to talk about that tonight, and we'll pray and then we'll begin. Heavenly Father, I thank you for letting us be here in your house tonight. I do pray that you would forgive me for my sins. I do pray that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit. I pray that you would just bless us tonight and help us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The important things. So the first point is, don't be a stumbling block. Don't be a stumbling block. The outline's simple today. You've heard the old expression, don't be a stumbling block, be a stepping stone. And so that's the outline today. So the first point, don't be a stumbling block. So verse 13 says, "Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way." So we talked about judgment this morning and the fact that we are not to judge one another in things that are not clear in the Bible, that are not specific in the Bible, and yet God is our ultimate judge. And we talked about that this morning. But now the Bible says, "Let us not therefore," and he's just got through saying that we're all going to be judged by Jesus Christ. We're going to have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, the Bema seat. That was this morning in verse 10. And so now he's saying, let us not therefore, because we will be judged by Jesus Christ, let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Now, how could me exercising my Christian liberty put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in my brother's way? And that's what we're going to look at tonight. Verse 14, "I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself. But to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean." In other words, what he's saying is that the foods and drinks and things that he's talking about, the days, whether you keep a special day or you don't keep a special day, and we can extend this to other things, there's nothing unclean of itself, but if you esteem it to be unclean, it is unclean. So we take, for instance, eating, we gave the illustration this morning about eating bacon. Well, eating bacon's not unclean of itself, but if a person thinks it's wrong and it's sin, then if they eat the bacon, then it's a sin to them. Everybody understand that? If you think what you're doing is sin, then it's sin because you're violating your conscience and you're sinning before God by doing that. The same thing with television. We gave the illustration this morning about the church that was having a debate, and some people had thrown out their TVs and other people kept their TVs. And the pastor was saying, if you've thrown out your TV, don't judge the people that still have a TV. And if you still have one, don't criticize the people that threw theirs out. Okay? TV is not wrong of itself, right? Now, there's some things you could watch on TV that would obviously be, would violate scripture, but TV itself is not wrong. So it's not wrong to own a TV. But if a person thinks it is a sin to own a TV, and I have met people before that believed it was a sin to own a TV, the same people watch movies on their computer. I don't know how you can really explain that, but nonetheless, they felt it was a sin to own a TV. So for them to get a TV would be a sin for them because they would be violating their conscience. Now, the Bible does describe them as being weak in the faith, and we understand that, but we are to receive the weak. So, verse 15. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. So in other words, if you sit down to eat, and in this day and age, this would have been a real issue because they had meat that was offered to idols, and the Jews would have been offended by eating pork, eating certain meats. And so, if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, in other words, you sit down to eat with your brother, and it's grieving his conscience, now walkest thou not charitably. You're not living, you're not walking in love by grieving his conscience. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Now, how can you destroy this man? He's not the one eating the meat. You're the one eating the meat. But it's going to explain this in a few moments. So I'll leave it to where the scripture makes that clear. But it's possible for us to destroy their walk with God by what we do. Now, verse 16. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. Now, there are things that I do that are not wrong. I don't believe they're wrong. The Bible certainly doesn't say they're wrong. Therefore, they're not wrong. But some people think that they would be wrong. And music is a good example. I listen to music that some people would not appreciate, and some people actually think that it's sinful. So, if I'm driving my car playing music that I like, and somebody sees me doing that and they think it's sin, then my good, what is fine for me, will be evil spoken of. And so we've got to watch that. Now verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. So this is a wonderful verse. Great verse. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. A lot of people want to make the kingdom of God about meat and drink, about petty little things. They make the kingdom of God about, you know, a set of standards, a set of rules that they have. They want to make the whole thing about that instead of about the big things, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. First of all, if you're attending a church, everybody here is attending this church, so this won't do you any good, but it may do good if someone's listening to this. So if you're attending a church and you go in there and you don't have any peace, you're never happy, you're miserable all the time, you either need to get right with God, or if you think you are right with God, then find another church. Because the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And we're talking this evening about the important things. And those are the important things. Meat and drink are not important, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost are important. You're supposed to have peace when you're worshiping God. You're supposed to worship God in righteousness. Righteousness is what we find in the Bible. Righteousness is not man's system. A man can say that all kinds of things are sinful, and it doesn't mean it's sinful, right? We're not Catholics. We don't believe, you know, if you're a Catholic, then you believe the Pope can speak ex cathedra, which means he can speak from the chair. And when he speaks from his, from the chair, what he says is equivalent with Scripture. But we don't believe that. One of the saddest things that I've heard is I've heard Baptist that one of the foundational principles of the Catholic Church is that tradition is equal with Scripture, tradition of the church. And they believe that the church is tradition plus scripture. One of the saddest things I've heard is Baptists preach sermons. And I've heard this. I've heard Baptists stand up and preach sermons on why, even though we can't find these things in scripture, why we should obey them because we need to keep tradition. And they're putting tradition at a level of scripture. And that is heresy. It's wrong. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. We're supposed to have peace in church, true righteousness, and joy. And I think we have joy here, usually, at least when Virginia's here. When you're not here, we don't have as much joy. But anyway, we have joy. Verse 18. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved to man. In other words, he that in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved to men. The truth of the matter is that if a man lives right according to the Bible and has peace and joy, he's approved to men. He's not only acceptable to God, but he's approved of men. There are some men that it's just, you just don't criticize them because they're full of the joy of the Lord. They live at peace. And Jesus said, you know, all the Bible is the Word of God. I can't remember where this comes from. I wasn't intending to say it. But as much as within you is, the Word of God says, live peaceably with all men. And so we are to have peace and be people of peace and joy and righteousness. And people appreciate that and approve of that. So, don't be a stumbling block. Don't do things that will cause your brother to stumble, and we'll explain that a little more in a moment. But we want to say, be a stepping stone. Now, notice in verse 19. Verse 19, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. So the Bible says we are to follow after things in the church, things in our Christian fellowship, which make for peace and which build up one another, not tear down one another. All right. Verse 20, for meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. That's basically the same thing that was said before. If a man thinks that it is a sin to do something, then it's a sin for him. And so they're using, Paul here is using meat as an example, and he says, for meat, destroy not the work of God. There are a lot of people that have destroyed a church for something petty. For something petty. For instance, churches have... Now, I'm not referring to anything that has happened in this place. I don't believe that was something petty, but I am referring to things that have happened in other places. There have been churches split because they hired a song leader that wanted to modernize the church music. And so nothing wrong with that, but the thing is that instead of doing it the right way, he just got rid of the hymn books and turned the whole thing into a rock concert. Now, that's stupid. Stupid. Stupid thing to do, and people ought to know better, but people have done that. There is a very smart pastor who hired a song leader and lost a bunch of people because they did that. And it's just a crazy thing to do. And the thing is, music preferences are just meat. They're not... I can praise God singing out of these books, and I can praise God singing Chris Tomlin or Casting Crowns. But the truth of the matter is, we're praising God the same. But it's just meat. It's not something that's worth destroying God's work over. Right? And there's people that do some very foolish things. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. Again, a person who thinks it's sin to them. Verse 21. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Now, what he means here, when we think of offending someone, we think of like not bathing and then, you know, talking to someone and offending them, or, you know, having bad breath or something. We just bought a bunch of peppermints there in the sound room. In fact, my wife was handing out peppermints to everybody earlier, so everybody ought to have good breath. But, do you still have peppermints with you? Okay. I just want to know if I have to walk all the way back there, I can get one from you when we're done. The Bible says it is good neither to eat flesh nor to drink wine nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth or is offended or is made weak. So here offended doesn't mean like to offend someone, but what it means is that you do something which causes them to stumble in their mind to where they offend God by committing a sin. And I'll explain this. You notice the other words here. Anything whereby thy brother stumbles. We understand that if you're walking and you trip, you stumble. Or is offended or is made weak. All right? And he uses his illustrations here. It is good neither to eat flesh nor to drink wine. Now, let me give you a simple illustration of this, which I think will make it clear. The Bible talks here about drinking wine. Okay? I do not drink alcohol. All right? I have never drunk alcohol except... I know I didn't drink it, but when I was in Northern Ireland, we were in Southern Ireland, I ordered a dessert, and I didn't realize they put alcohol in their desserts. And it's not cooked out. So, I ate some ice cream, and this stuff tasted like Listerine. I was like, oh, this is good, and I drank the stuff, and then I got a buzz off of dessert. It was about that much. I have no tolerance for alcohol at all. But now, when I was a kid, my parents didn't drink on a regular basis, but sometimes at business dinners and different things I'd be at, they would order a glass of wine and have a glass of wine. And there are preachers who, usually not Baptist preachers, but there are preachers who drink occasionally, and they're not alcoholics, they don't have a problem with it. Okay. Now, let's say that a brother comes to the church who has a problem with alcohol, okay? And he has gotten saved, and he's trying to get away from that. And he goes, and some churches do this at their fellowships. I don't think it's right, but it's what they do. So this brother goes to a small group, and at the small group, they're meeting at a restaurant, and the small group leader is drinking a beer while he teaches the small group. Now, again, I don't agree with that, but there's people that do that, all right? So he's drinking a beer, teaching the Bible, and this Christian goes to it who is an alcoholic, a recovering alcoholic. Now, his thing, which he does not believe is sinful, his drinking that beer, that small group leader, which he does not believe is a sin, the young Christian there sees it, and he says, that guy's more spiritual than me, and if he can do that, why can't I do that? And that causes him to stumble, or to be offended, or to be made weak. So this verse is not talking about if you have a Christmas tree up in your in the church, and somebody comes in and says, that Christmas tree offends me. You know, that's not talking about that. There's all kinds of people that get offended by all kinds of things. Not talking about that at all. It is talking about actually causing someone, wounding their conscience, causing them to actually sin because they see you do it. You are perceived as a strong Christian, and therefore they feel it's okay for them to do it. People will use what we do as a justification for what they want to do. And so we have to be careful. So the Bible gives this a very helpful thing. Hast thou faith? Do you have faith in this matter? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he allows. So in other words, if you have faith about something, keep it to yourself. Have it to yourself. I'll give music. Usually I listen to my music in the car. Now, here it's not a problem, but if I'm around certain people, I would never play certain music. In general, I try not to offend people in the way we usually think of offending people, but there's some people it might cause them to stumble because it wounds their conscience. So, hast thou faith, have it to thyself before God. Keep it to yourself. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he allowed. And you say, well, Brother Stephen, isn't this encouraging hiding your sin? It's not encouraging hiding sin because it's not talking about a sin. It's not talking about doing something that's sinful. It's talking about doing something that you believe is okay, is permitted by Scripture, that's not condemned in Scripture, that might cause another person to stumble, and just keeping that thing to yourself. And the Bible uses meat, but I would give the television program my wife likes as an example, but I actually I hate that TV program with a passion. But anyway, but I have watched it before.
And you get great illustrations from it,
Carol. Yes, I do, dear. What? Is the London one on tonight, or is it the... Okay, well, this is inappropriate for the pulpit. Anyway, hast thou faith, have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. Now, verse 23. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat. Now, that's not talking about being condemned to hell, but it's just talking about his conscience is condemned. He's condemned in his conscience. He that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So, what we do must be done in faith. And if we doubt, if we say, you know, I'm not really sure, there have been times when I was moving from one thing to another, to where there have been times when I actually thought it was sinful. Like, I used to actually think it was a sin to go to the movie theater, so I wouldn't go. And then I went through a period of time where I decided, well, maybe it's not really a problem. And now I don't think it's a problem at all. There's still certain things I won't watch, understand. I'm not going to go to certain movies and watch certain things. But if you don't have confidence that the Bible permits this, and it's all about the Bible, it's all about what the Bible says. If you do not have confidence that the Bible permits it and you feel guilty about it, don't do it. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Don't violate your conscience. The conscience, by the way, has to be trained. A Catholic might believe that it's a sin in their conscience to not go to Mass on Saturday. I don't believe it's a sin to not go to Mass because I'm not a Catholic. So that doesn't bother my conscience to not go to Mass. All right? So the conscience can be trained. But we need to train our consciences with the Word of God. And that's why we need to read the Word of God and get in the Word of God. This whole lesson in Romans 14 brings us back to the fact that we need to be people of the book. Because if we know the Bible, then it'll make us strong Christians that won't be tripped up by these different things. But if we don't know the Bible, then it's easy to listen to someone preach or somebody on the TV or read a book somewhere and somebody says, don't do this because of this and this and this, and then your conscience is wounded and it's easy to become a weak Christian, and you get that way. It's like anything else. If a person is malnourished and they're not getting food and proper nutrients, then they become weak physically. And if you're malnourished spiritually, not getting the Bible inside of you, then you become weak spiritually. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not in faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And by the way, the Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So you want to get faith? Get in the Bible. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these thy people.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Visit us on the web at thenationsforchrist.com and harmonybconline.com.